Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio from Chicagoland is Dr. Jean Porter King. Dr. Jean Porter King is founder and president of Transporter Group, Incorporated, a leadership and organizational development and consulting firm. Dr. Jean, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. How are you this morning?
Hello, Fran. I am great, and thank you so much for having me on your show today.
It is a pleasure. It's great that we're early morning risers. For those of you that may be listening to the archive, it is 6:30 a.m. in Philadelphia, where I am, and Dr. Jean, it's probably 5:30 a.m. there. Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct. Okay. 5:30 a.m.
So, right. Early morning risers. Well, you know, Transporter Group, how did you come up with that name? I think that might lead into some of the early morning riser phenomena.
Oh, that's a great question. I used actually a process, a creative process of coming up with the name that capsulize or crystallize what I do as an organizational and leadership development consultant. So the whole idea of development and developing systems and people. And I used a book back in the day by Laurie Beth Jones, and it was called The Path. And she has a number of great visualization exercises in there. And we were, you know, as we read the book, you know, we were supposed to think of, you know, are you more like water, fire, you know, the four elements, and then it helps you with your core values to write those out and then put a, not just a mission statement for a company, but for life. But for me, it crystallized into the mission and actual name for my company. So I felt like my impetus and passion for life was more like water. I absolutely love water, love traveling to the Caribbean, lived in Hyde Park of Chicago, right on the lakefront. So I'm a big water person. And so that whole water talked about movement. And my last name, at least before I was married, is Porter. I still keep the name in there. And so it hit one day that I transport people and systems from where they are now toward a vision that leaders or the organizational leaders might have or the individual person might have. And it was the whole name idea then of transporting people. So transporter, play on my name, as well as moving people. And my tagline has been now for 20 years, moving people and systems to higher levels of effectiveness.
That's beautiful. And I got it right away, and I always love when folks share the creativity behind how they put it together. And so the visual metaphor of transporting as well as the connection with water is very powerful. As you mentioned, you've been doing this for a while. You're a seasoned organizational development consultant with more than 25 years of consulting and training experience in a variety of industries. Dr. Jean, take us back, even before you kind of became this professional expert, and take us back to what was the story, the significant story behind you becoming an entrepreneur?
You know, I was raised in the Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio region of the United States. So it was a very working class, blue collar community, steel mill valley, I used to call it, right between Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Youngstown, Ohio, Wheeling, West Virginia. And so I come from a line of hardworking people who, you know, worked for others. And my dad was just that. You know, he started out in the union. union, and he was such a rabble-rouser that eventually the company he worked for invited him into management because he was such a leader. So that shaped my thinking, saw that, you know, potential for movement and growth. And but I also saw, as I went away to college and I was coached towards engineering, because I was great at math, and in the 70s, you know, not a lot of girls at the time were going into engineering. So I was encouraged by my math instructor, you know, dad, his boss, et cetera. So I was going into engineering, and probably right about maybe my junior or senior year, the recession, the ended up depression of that area occurred. And I saw where, you know, my dad had worked there for 30 years, and they just began to lay off and downsize, and companies were, because of the steel industry in crisis, I just saw how people who'd committed their lives to companies were just left out. And so I didn't obviously think about entrepreneurism that early on, but I believe it was a seed, so that, you know, 10 years later, once I got into industry, I got enough experience with companies, never intending to start my own. It probably wasn't until, you know, I did some high-level consulting with a firm, PwC, I was with them for a bit, that I realized, you know, that entrepreneurial bug was for me, so that I could have the kind of balanced life that I wanted. Not so much that balance means easy, but it was the fun, the impetus, the passion for doing my own thing, servicing clients in such a way that, you know, put my mark on it, and the teams that I built, we put our mark on it, but allowed me to do some other things, for instance, in the community with my church and things of that nature. So, yeah, it was probably those early seeds with, you know, where I grew up, along with just having that faith and taking that risk to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, what a wonderful combination. When you mentioned seeds grow, they need soil, they need light, and they need water. So but I'm just kind of, you know, going back to some of your original comments. And in the growth, there is movement towards higher levels, and that's what you're all about. I hear the passion, and you talked about being able to take your education and your corporate experiences and create your own team. What is the core passion that your company, that drives your company, and how are you able to develop your own team such that it does service your clients?
Yeah, the core, you know, core values for my company, we have them even on the website, call them EPIC values, E-P-I-N-C. But the first is excellence, the idea that we want to provide service of excellence that meets client needs, and we're actually able to craft and develop solutions with our clients. P is really around people are first, and it's a idea that we want to, we're in the people development business, so we help to develop leaders as an organizational development consultant for years. We've done team development, individual personal development. I do the work also, not just in Fortune 5 companies, but in churches and faith-based communities. My start as a child, I was raised in the Black Pentecostal Church, so the idea of helping to grow people, develop people, that started very early for me. So that P, focus on people, and then processes. So people will always take precedence over processes with us, and therefore including our clients in the solutions that we develop for them, listening to their need, and then kind of co-producing something. Integrity, that's a core value, being able to, you talk about, I loved your metaphor of seeds grow in soil, water, and light. That light or truth for me is about that integrity. We do things with integrity, doing the right thing for clients, helping clients to do the right thing, helping leaders really develop their authentic self and voice, and also doing it in an ethical and integrous manner. And then the last one really is the C,
it's really around the importance of culture. And this is a global world that we live in, obviously, global world, play on words there. But the idea that many of the systems I work in are multinational, and if they're not multinational, the very diversity that's in the organizations, the companies, the communities, we need to really capitalize and leverage that cultural diversity and create these inclusive systems that allow us to work together and worship together, play together far more effectively than perhaps we had in the past. So those are our core values for that drives the company.
And in working and living and representing those core values in your business and helping others to bring out the best, is there a story that you could share about a client experience where what you did and how you collaborated and co-created with them really made a difference in their organization?
I sure will. One of my favorite stories, first of all, one of my favorite programs that we now run actually started back in 2004. I was working with a large multinational company as really an independent contractor doing diversity work with that company, but with another gentleman who was a European-American male, and they paired us often to do diversity work back in the early 2000s. At the time, they had a program that they were launching for women influencers, and they really wanted to begin to address their glass ceiling issues. They felt women would get to a particular point in their careers but stall, and they, as was common at that time, many people were looking at what were women doing that sabotaged their own careers. So they had a firm that was introducing a program, a learning program, and they asked that firm if I could facilitate their program. And that was like a wonderful compliment from this particular company, because that showed me they valued my facilitation, my training, my platform and classroom skills, if you will. And it was also a trust that they trusted me, and we could move over to this new arena. And I did that for a few years. What began to happen is I'm an incessant researcher, you know, being doctorally trained, as you know, we stay abreast of the field. And I began to, you know, develop new models, see different insights, listening to the client and how things were changing, and literally took some time off and said, you know, I need an entire new approach to this idea of developing women leaders, and broadened it from just, you know, influence to really this idea of leadership, gender, the biases, et cetera. And consequently, one of their sister firms approached and said, that's what we need. We have a woman CEO at this time, and here are the messages that we're trying to really craft. Here's what we're trying to do. And literally in collaboration with them, I took the framework that I had started developing, putting my own touch on, rebranding, and brought in literally their insights, their key messages, and it ended up being a phenomenal process. We, you know, had to tweak it a few times. We launched it 1 year, and one thing I did with this particular client is said, I'll give you a free upgrade, you know, after a year, so we can test to see where we are, what type of impact you're having. And so much good had come out of that particular program, so much so that one of their offices in London, or the UK, that used it, ended up getting a great Women's Leadership Award for, you know, best companies for women to work. And this was one of the programs cited as, you know, a great benefit for women who worked there. We've continued to do the work for years now, and again, continuing to upgrade and stay abreast of the literature, bring in new research, bring in new models. I've shifted even on some of the tools so that they're even more powerful. And then finally, just to show you how something like this might evolve over the years, for a bit, because again, we're talking about some of the communication differences between men and women and how that might hinder or help us in our influence. At one point, a number of the women kept saying, well, wait a minute, if this is so good for us to know, you know, we work with men who sometimes, you know, they're the ones who aren't understanding us. Shouldn't men come to this program? And eventually we developed an entire program that was what I call the co-ed version of this leadership program, in which men and women work together. And the gendered issues that we raised in an all-female program, we recrafted so that we now also look at what are the gender double binds or hindrances that men face and that women face, and how do we resolve them together in the context of a broader leadership development and influence program. So we teach strategy, self-awareness, et cetera, but now, you know, it evolved and morphed into an entire new program that is very inclusive. So I really get charged up when I think about the evolution of that particular program, and it's right at what you had mentioned. The excitement around meeting a client's needs, working together with it, and then literally seeing both rewards come out of it, seeing a clamor. It's one of the most popular courses for this particular client, and that's great to see that we really met a need.
I can hear the energy. I can almost see the smile on your face as you're sharing that, and that's what's so exciting about the opportunity to be an entrepreneur, to make an impact, and to get that feedback, knowing that it's really based on making a difference, a significant difference in other people's lives. You continue, Dr. Jean, to make an impact with people, and I know I'm getting a few messages here that folks would like me to let you tell them how they can get in touch with you. So would you share with the listening audience how they can find you on the web?
I sure would love to do that. There's actually, I have two presences on the web. My company is www.transportergroup.com, and that's the landing page, the website, if you will, for my corporate clients. To be honest with you, I do very little marketing around the corporate work because it has all come from word of mouth. I'm real big as a real big believer of having a strong network, or what I call an infrastructure of support. And just down through the years, I've been blessed to any new client has come from word of mouth, from references from other clients. And so those that are looking to get in touch from a corporate standpoint, if you're a talent manager, learning specialist, and you might need some learning solutions, that's the one you want to go to hear about. You know, I've whittled down our core focus to four areas: leadership development, which really capitalizes upon my classic OD training, organizational development training, but also diversity and inclusion, as we then bring that nexus with the cultural work that I've done, and then communication coaching, because I do have a doctorate in communication and culture, so I do communication coaching, and then process facilitation, and that came out of literally those early days in organizational development that I just facilitated a lot of processes coming out of my industrial engineering background. So that's one way for corporate types to reach me. On the personal, I do a lot of personal development, whether it's coaching, individual programs. So my JeanPorterKing.com, and Jean is spelled J-E-A-N-N-E, PorterKing.com. That's where I have tried to create a site primarily for women, I have to acknowledge, because I do so much women's leadership work. I'd like to have a place for women to go to explore their own leadership. So the tagline for that is developing the leader within. But it is a site for women that informs and transforms. And there I have articles, resources. Periodically will post an article that is an outgrowth of one of my programs. I do work with the Institute for Management Studies, and a lot of great insights come from those seminars and workshops, and I'll try to craft them into a blog article. That's where I encourage people to go. Follow me on the blog, and we have a conversation. You know, just did one recently as an aside. I think you'll appreciate this. It was a particularly grueling time. We had some things happening here at the home. Came back from one of my gigs, I called them, one of my consulting engagements, and our basement had flooded. It was like the third time, and this time it was a fluke with which the sump pump. I'm in the suburban area of Chicago now. I used to live in a high rise, never had to worry about any of this. So there was a stone that had gotten lodged in the sump pump and caused, you know, the basement to flood. Long story short, I was a pretty snarky for a few days, just a bear. I know. And my point is, though, I turned it into a blog article that was probably, it wasn't the most popular. I'll tell you later about the most popular, but it was one of the most popular. I probably had oodles of people chiming in like, oh, I get this. And oh, yeah, because it was around change. And as a change management consultant, you know, as an OD consultant, I often talk about change in the organization, helping leaders change, helping us grow. But it was a very personal side of change and how none of us really like to change and we need to adapt. And it was just a very transparent article that helped people see another dimension of the consultant, if you will.
Right. Well, as you shared that story, I thought, you know, often it's something little, like a stone, that blocks the path or the flow, and that's what causes problems. And
that's right.
You know, the dislodging of that stone that sometimes is smelly and stinky and difficult, that then, you know, lets us kind of say, this is really where we want to go. And I know in talking with you earlier that on the personal side, and particularly with women, hearing their insights is something that you really are committed to, and in fact have developed a book of 366 quotes from women. Dr. Dean, would you talk a little bit about that process and what has come out of your writing and working with women all around the world?
Oh, thank you so much for that plug and that question. Yes, I ended up reading a number of different quote books. I love quotes, and I think you use quotes also. They can be inspirational, and they can crystallize an idea in just one quote that sparks other ideas. So I read, you know, periodically look at quote books, and ended up with this idea of developing a quote book for based on women's words on leadership. And I entitled it, That's What She Said, and a play on the meme that in some ways can, for some women, can be insulting. In the first chapter, I write about how you can go to the Apple App Store and download an app that advertisement says it turn any phrase or word into a provocative, you know, sexual statement, because that's the meme in popular culture, and we give the history of that meme. And what we did in this book, I had a team that worked with me. We turned that meme on its head and said words about us as women and words that we say should not be sophomoric way minimized, but they should be celebrated. So here we present these wonderful words by women on leadership that is for anyone who leads. And so that was the impetus, really honoring the work that I do around women's leadership. And again, I do broad organizational leadership development for men and women, but that is a particular passion, especially as a woman leader who kind of cut her teeth in an all-male discipline at the time, as well as male organization. So that was the impetus of really getting a quote book out on women's perspectives on leadership, and developed a team of happens to be all women entrepreneurs, that between the research assistant, the editing person who has she's a writing assistant for people and helps people publish, to the graphics designer, put this team together of reviewers, and it was a marvelous process of putting now, you know, in paper form or e-form, a book that could motivate men and women around leadership.
So, Dr. Jean, where can people find the book, and would you say the title one more time?
I sure will. It's called That's What She Said, 366 Leadership Quotes by Women, and it can be obtained anywhere, Amazon.com, obviously, one of the biggest book distributor, Amazon.com, but also any bookstore can order it through the regular book channels. So we have all of the distribution channels there, but Amazon is the big one. We have the print version and the e-version.
So for our listeners, what are maybe two quotes that stand out for you as something that women might want to think about if they're entrepreneurs themselves or thinking about entrepreneurship?
And you know, you've given me an idea that maybe part two of the book will be one just for entrepreneurs. Yeah, for that very reason. For me, there's one in there that I actually have one of my own, is that now as our understanding of leadership has evolved, we can examine women's stories through a different lens or examine stories from a different lens. The distinct leadership styles of courageous and skillful women point us toward new images of leadership, ways of talking about and seeing leadership that honor women's experiences and perspectives, because for so long, what we saw as leadership really had more of a male dominance, a male framework, and there was nothing wrong with that framework, but it limited who would be seen as a leader, who would be counted as a leader. And many of us as women lead in a different way. Carol Gilligan helped us see this years ago in her classic research In a Different Voice, you know, between our talk, our communication, our approach to leadership wasn't always counted as leading because we led differently. So that's a good one. And one of my favorites is by Bishop Vashti McKenzie, the first African-American, first bishop in the African-American Methodist Episcopal Church, first female bishop. And I'm really big on women leaders developing their network of support, developing, you know, when there was a complaint, oh, we've been left out of the old boys network. And we don't hear that as much anymore, so I'm not trying to re-energize that concept, but some women still today still feel they're left out of some informal network in which their voice isn't heard. My coaching is start your own network, build your own network, make sure you have a network, an infrastructure of support to stand on that supports you, encourages you, helps you gain access to places you need access, and that you're providing that. And so she has a quote that is absolutely critical to that. She says, the Lone Ranger leader, the sun continues to shine on the Lone Ranger leadership, but her days are limited. So if the idea is, you know, there's still some Lone Ranger leadership, you're trying to do things by yourself, but those days are limited because we need each other to be successful.
Absolutely. And I do think that while your book is focusing on leadership, entrepreneurs are leaders of their own business. And
yes,
to build on what you just said, if you are a solo entrepreneur and doing everything yourself, it's extremely exhausting. So being part of a network, just as you put together with your book, really makes things go much smoother. Well, Dr. Jean Porter King, we are almost at the end of our interview time. I want to thank you so much for sharing your energy, for helping to transport us to a higher level of effectiveness and leadership. And I hope I'll follow you on social media and check out your book. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and I want to wish you continued success. I would love to have you back when you do your second book that focuses on quotes for entrepreneurial leaders.
Entrepreneurs, yes. Yes, thank you so much for that. This idea emerged out of your conversation. I love it.
Right, right. Well, thank you. You are a wonderful example of a significant leader. So we'll close with that, and we look forward to our listeners continuing to follow us.
Thank you, Fran, for having me. I really appreciate spending this time with you.
Thank you.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.